Good morning. It's 26th of July. Our New Testament reading today is Matthew chapter 27. Once again, I'm going to read from Brother Melva Purkis. Pilate has sent Jesus to Herod, and Herod has sent him back. I read. Pilate must have watched his return with a sinking heart, but his duty was clear. Herod's attitude, base as it was, confirmed Pilate's verdict. Once more he faced the Jews, their numbers swelling with the passing hours. "I have examined him before you," he declared, "and have found no fault in this man, touching those things whereof ye accuse him. No, nor yet Herod. For I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done to him. I will therefore chastise him and release him." But it was too late now. Pilate had shown his weakness. They refused to accept his verdict. The clamour grew more insistent. Other elements had arrived to demand that a prisoner be released to them. It was a Passover concession, reluctantly yielded by the Romans, riotously acclaimed by the Jews. This time Pilate welcomed it. How little he knew the people. How pitiable his resolution looked as he retreated step by step before their wrath. "Ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews?" "Not this man," they cried, "but Barabbas." Barabbas was a notorious rebel and murderer. Pilate gave way before them once more. He gave Jesus up to the soldiers to be scourged. Again, the suffering Saviour of men was subjected to the unrestrained brutality of men. When it was over, they fetched a thorn bush, plaited it roughly into a crown, and crushed it on his head. They draped a purple robe over his bleeding form and hailed him as their king. They brought him back to Pilate, and Pilate, looking at him, felt a surge of pity in his hardened soul. He led him out for the people to see. "Behold the man." And men have beheld and wept, and from him they have slowly turned their gaze upon those who judged him, those who clamoured for his affliction and death, those who smote him with the palms of their hands. There was no pity in the Jews. "Crucify him, crucify him," they cried. Pilate was almost beaten. "Take ye him," he shouted, "and crucify him. I find no fault in him." The words of a man distraught. They could not crucify him. "We have a law," persisted the Jews, "and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." Pilate trembled. There had been something about this man which had strangely affected him from the first. The calm, almost unearthly dignity had persisted through all these terrible punishments. He brought him back from the raging crowds to the silence of the judgment hall. "Whence art thou?" he asked. But Jesus remained silent. "Speakest thou not unto me?" Pilate demanded. "Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and power to release thee?" He had already demonstrated his power. "Thou couldest have no power at all against me," Jesus replied, "except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin." Shaken, Pilate went out to make a last great effort to save him. He was met by a storm of menacing shouts. Then he heard something which changed the whole outlook. Perhaps Caiaphas, hearing of the difficulties that had developed, had inspired it. "If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar." Pilate realized now that he was personally involved. The Jews had their way. "His blood be upon us and upon our children," they cried. It was a terrible prophecy. They led Jesus away to his death. Thank you for listening.